Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. So blessed that you're joining us as I'm continuing my two-part interview with John Meacham. Now, we've been talking about his book, Divine Revelations. And if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. Now, specifically in this series, we've been talking about how God speaks through divine revelation. He's been sharing some great insight into how this happens and how God has spoken to him and what he's been sharing. And folks, this is some excellent stuff. Get your pad and paper ready because we're going to jump right back to this interview. And we're going to start off by having him explain the instructions the Lord gave him as he's putting all this down. He said, make it simple and get it right. Well, that's advice we can all use, right? So, all right, let's jump right back into the interview with John Meacham. I wanted to ask you this question because you said it as you were reading the opening verses there from your book. The Lord gave you instructions to make it simple and to get it right. How has that worked,
right,
and how has it been received? I mean, we kind of remember
first of
how
all,
it been received. But
the Holy Spirit had to tell me what that means. I had no idea because, you know, here I am in this huge fiery cloud and the voice of God comes from the cloud and, you know, I now have a high fever and I'm just overwhelmed. There's no other word beside that. So over the next, it wasn't months, I'm going to say maybe 6 to 8 weeks because you'll see where we end up. This opening revelation ended up being the beginning of the AIM program for this church I was in, which is a shepherd group program. This is how it all started, was this voice from the Lord. Because, you know, when we go to the story in Exodus, it's the story of God leading his people. Well, if God's going to give us revelations, he has to be leading us in a certain direction. I mean, God doesn't do these things just for the edification of one person or even for a small group. It's to lead us all.
Right.
So the first message had to be revealed, or at least in my mind, what is it? You know, make it simple, get it right. Well, the Holy Spirit, right off from the get-go, said, it is life. Make life simple. Get life right. Now, Bob, in today's world, as we end 2019 and get ready to begin 2020, is life simple?
Well, it's complicated if you try and do it on your own.
It's complicated what?
If you try to do it on your own.
If you try to do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Holy Spirit then started leading me through a progression of what this message means. And the first thing was make life simple. Well, I went to one of the ministers at the church I was attending at that time, and I told him about the experience, and I said, his name was Fred Holbrook, and I said, just a quick aside, I've had four pastors named Fred. I don't know what that means, but if I run across a pastor named Fred, I've learned to pay attention to him. But I said, Fred, what does this mean? And you know, the Spirit was leading him to me, and he says, the way I order my life to comply with making my life simple is I go to what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 6:33. Where he tells the people, stop worrying so much about all the things of the world. Stop worrying about your paycheck, about your clothes, about your house, about your smartphone, about all this stuff. And then he says, instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you. And then he'll provide all these other things that you need.
Amen. That's good advice.
What would happen to our lives, Bob, if we put the kingdom of God as the first in the order of business each and every day? What would happen to the complexity in our lives?
Everything become a lot more simple because, one, God would be the one in control. Two, he's the one leading us down the path of life. And three, we'd be doing his will in the process.
Amen, amen, and amen. Wow. Hey, and I didn't even prompt you for any of that. For those of you who are listening, that just tells you Pastor Bob is a true theologian because he got God's will in there, God's way in our lives.
Amen.
And that's exactly what we're being called to do. So make life simple. Put God out there first. Make it God's way and not my way.
Yeah.
Well, the next revelation or the next meaning that the Holy Spirit led me to was seek righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, you're much more trained and knowledgeable in theology than I am. I've always had a hard time with the word righteousness. It's like, what does this mean? I'm more of a practical kind of guy. Like we talked about, I was a CPA in my career. Show me how to do it. You know, I'm a show me kind of guy. I'm from North Carolina, not Missouri, but I am a show me kind of person. How can I live out a righteous life? And at some junction, the Spirit illuminated me to understand that righteousness is all about right relationships, where there's nothing in the Scriptures that defines relationships more than Jesus' great commandment. So the Holy Spirit's leading me in the particular version that I study and I like is Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, where Jesus gives us the great commandments. Love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Get these relationships right. You know, he's restating the Ten Commandments. You know, the first four had to do with our relationship with God. The next two were our relationship with ourselves. And the last four were our relationship with other people. So, you know, that's what the next thing was, seek righteousness. You know, if I have my relationship right with God, what happens to our lives, Bob, when we get our relationship right with God?
Oh, like I said, everything starts working out. I mean, you're living under basically a divine blessing at that point in time.
Oh, exactly. Wonderful. Wonderful. Living under a divine blessing. Now, can we expect a big house and a big car and all these amenities to go with that divine blessing in the New Testament?
The answer that is being delivered in churches today is, oh, yes, amen, of course. But that's not scriptural.
Well,
you know, the if God wants you to have something like that, the opportunity will be there to do so. But to live under divine blessing just means you're doing what's right because it's right, and you're doing it right, and that's what allows God to bless.
Makes you righteous.
You're doing here. Yeah, amen.
That's what makes us righteous, and you know that's great. I never thought of it even further down the line like that. It's doing what's right, making life simple. Getting it right, seeking righteousness. Now, one revelation for me personally, and I don't know how this applies to you, but for me personally, in Jesus' great commandment, he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I have to kind of go back to at least the order of the Ten Commandments. You know, I've got to love God first, and then I have to love myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about you. You to me sound like a person who has who's led a good life. And I don't mean good, prosperous, but I mean good in terms of your behavior.
Well,
when I look in my past, I have fallen victim to sin on more than one occasion.
Amen. Yep.
And so, when I look in the mirror, I need to recognize that the right relationship for that person in the mirror, I have to be doing the best I can to live the way God wants me to live. I'll be honest with you. Nothing in life I'm looking for more than going to heaven. And the thing I'm looking for the most in heaven is there's no sin.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about ever sinning again once I get to heaven.
That's right.
Because there's nothing to fall victim to. So I think, you know, at least for me, I have to love God. I have to love myself. Then I'm ready to love my neighbor.
Amen.
You know, why in today's, and I'll call it cell phone age, is which really where we are, why is it becoming more and more difficult for us to love our neighbors?
Oh, with the way social media is and the cell phones, everyone is consumed with self rather than
exactly
others.
Exactly.
There's no communication with other people. It's all communication.
Exactly.
Through the
and my favorite preaching adage was always the nature of sin is self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are consumed with ourselves. So the Holy Spirit is revealing what make it simple, get it right means. We've make life simple, seek righteousness. And then the next I know has been a lifelong endeavor for you. It's accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Why is it so important for people of every age, in every era, individually, to accept Jesus Christ, to believe in Him as their Lord and Savior? Why is that so important?
Well, that's our purpose in life. That's the purpose we were created for, is to worship God. And, you know, because that's one of the reasons man was created, Adam and Eve. And when they fell, everything else has been God's plan to get his man back, just to fellowship with him. So, you know, if you are consumed with yourself, you're going to have to earn heaven on your own, and we know that's not going to happen.
You can't do that.
That's right. That is not going to happen. So Jesus
is
the only way. And that's why it's so important. You have to have him as your Savior. There is no other way. There is zero chance that the Pope or anyone else would get to heaven on their own. It's not going to happen.
No one can.
Yep, that's it.
We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you think in society today, particularly among non-believers, do you think there's a resistance to this message now?
Absolutely, because they've been taught, society has been taught, especially in the West, you can do it, you can do it, you can do whatever your mind sets out to achieve. And it's not the fact. I mean, I can take you to downtown Baltimore and show you a whole bunch of people that go to church every Sunday, and they are not living a blessed life. Because they're
one of the, you know, I've told you I had an accountability group, which was Helen and my oldest son and a church pastor that I respect a lot. As I was going through and developing this message, is John the Apostle from the Bible, and that pastor told me this remarkable story, Bob, about one time he did a series of sermons on Jesus's miracles, mm-hmm. you know, to prove, not to prove, but to illustrate the divinity of Christ. One of the affluent, successful church members came up to him and said, his name's Gary. He says, Gary, you're talking about Jesus way too much. You've got to stop talking about him so much.
Well,
you know, if we're trying to... Exactly. Well, you know, when you go to the Gospel of John and you look at it and you see John 3:16, you know, love, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. You know, I have to remember that passage was written for the Greeks. Mm-hmm. And the Greeks were yearning for this spiritual life that we've talked about. You know, this is right after the whole story about Nicodemus and being born again. So, you know, John is offering to the Greeks this new spiritual life that they were hungry for.
Yeah.
But what was written for the Jews is verses 14 and 15, where it's written that as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that those who believe in him will have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here they're really talking about Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of Man. You know, that's an important distinction because that shows he's from the line and lineage of David, descended from Abraham, and, you know, it lines him up as that.
Yep.
But I think, Pastor Bob, I think these are the verses that people need to be aware of today because of that snake. You know, the snakes are out there biting people in the desert, and they're killing them, and I've always envisioned the pole that Moses put it on had a T, at a cross, across the pole where he wrapped the bronze snake on that cross, and they were looking up to the cross, and it had this snake on it that he'd made from bronze. But we need to remember they were being healed of and saved from their sins.
Yeah, amen.
You know, today's society, we don't even see ourselves as sinful anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
But we need to be saved. You know, on my website, I do some short sermons about the seven messages. And, you know, one of the sermons that it talks about preaching to the lost is that I say people need to realize the snakes of sin are still out there biting people on their hearts, in their minds, in their souls, on their arms, and on their legs. And they need to understand that the diagnosis for a sin bite is death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know, I want to, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, and I've been able to, you know, preach on this so many different ways and teachings and stuff, but it's centered around Acts 10:38. And to get the full context, we've got to back up a little bit. The story, Peter was called to Cornelius' house, and, was not permitted for a Jew to interact with the Gentiles like that. But he went anyway, because that's what the Holy Spirit had inspired him to do. And again, they said, okay, I'm here, what do you want, type thing. And Cornelius told him a story, and he said, now you're here, I've got everybody assembled, because we want to hear the words that you have to say that will give us, you know, everlasting life. And Peter says, well, I can tell and perceive that God's not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him works righteousness is accepted with him, with God. The word which God sent the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all, that word, I say, you know. It was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did. That is our job. We
Amen.
Are the witnesses
Amen.
To all things that Jesus did. And you know, because of my law enforcement background, you know, you're called to testify in court. You are not there to speculate, like despite what the impeachment crowd was looking for.
Oh, don't get it! Don't bring up the impeachment, please.
My opinion
leave that
is
one alone. Thing, right?
But a witness is called to testify what he's seen, he or she's seen. There could be a car accident in an intersection with people standing on four corners and four witnesses, and they will all give different depictions of the same accident, right? But you know, one would say, well, I seen this guy run the intersection. Another person says, well, I seen that the light was red. And another person, well, I seen, you know, this car didn't seem to be paying attention. Or, you know, they're not contradicting each other. Taken alone at face value, it may seem that way. But when you piece them all together, this guy wasn't paying attention. The light was red. He ran the intersection. And now you have the truth that came out. That's what a witness is supposed to do. Just testify to what you personally know about. And when it comes to Jesus and salvation only through him, how has that revelation affected you? And when you
Exactly.
give that testimony, it doesn't matter what happened to Pastor Bob or Pastor Joe or Pastor Fred or whoever. What happened with you? That is
and you know that's
you
why, and that's why I did what Helen asked, and it's to try to share my testimony, my witnesses, you know, of what God through me and my acceptance of Jesus Christ is trying to reveal to any individual who reads these words or hears this podcast or goes to my website and reads the Divine Revelations. And the final part of this revelation of God speaking from the cloud, you know, we've got make life simple, seek righteousness, accept Jesus. The final part of it is put God first. And the Holy Spirit led me to Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul writes, because of God's great mercy to us, because he's given us salvation in Jesus Christ, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, and let him transform you. You know, last interview, we talked about how our minds are so focused on our human nature. We need to get our minds focused on our spiritual nature. Yeah, we need to hope for the things of heaven. Well, this is where AIM starts. And you have been so gracious in mentioning AIM. So God's taken this revelation and bringing it into the church. Because the church, as you mentioned, it's not showing the right way. And the right way being the way of Jesus Christ. It's like you said with the 50 million times the message been seen. That's a lot of knocks on the door that only one person opened.
Yep.
So that's the message in this divine revelation for everyone is these four statements. Make life simple. Seek Scripture. Seek righteousness. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And put God first, because as you said, that shows us God's way for us individually. This is God's Word coming into the world. And I need to make a final statement, Pastor Bob, in that sometimes we forget to go to Romans 12:2 to understand that our nature is not this nature. We are born physical beings. We have to be transformed to become the spiritual being that becomes a part of the kingdom of God, that gets ready for heaven. Because, you know, when we think about that, John 3:14-15, and we think about the sins and all of the things in life we're pursuing, the pleasures, the possessions, the property, none of that goes past the grave. The only thing we can take with us past the grave are these unthinks things, the faith, the hope, the love, the salvation in Jesus Christ. And we've got to prepare for that. But we also need to recognize the world today has turned its back on all of that, even in the church.
Yeah, amen.
It's not preparing us for heaven. I don't know what the church is preparing us for, but it sure isn't heaven.
Yeah, I know. And you know, that's one of my biggest complaints about the modern church is they're more concerned with what people think than what God thinks. You know, and that's the pastors of these churches, the leaders of these ministries, they're going to be answering for that.
Oh gosh, I'm telling you what, the only thing I want to answer for is when my day comes and I got to face St. Peter and you know, I'm just using that as an illustration. I want to try to be able to say I was still trying to do it God's way, and I was still trying to communicate the message.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's tough in today's natural human world to live a spiritual heavenly life. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, John, this is always so interesting for me to talk about. Golly, we're all out of time. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or get more information, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Well, always with me is go to dazzlinglight.org. Mm-hmm. And if you've liked these messages that we're doing right now, these divine revelations, they're all from my currently now unpublished book, A Divine Revelations, A Call from Christ to Join the Armies of Heaven. I got about 50 copies that I had as complimentary copies still available. I would love for somebody to say, you know, I heard you on the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Please mail me a free copy of that book. And I would be glad to do that. They can go through my website, hear my YouTubes, hear you and I do an interview, hear, you know, see all the pictures and read all the words and the messages from Jesus. And hopefully what I'm doing is to try to bring people closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, we've got to get closer. We've got to get ready. We've got to transform ourselves and transform the church, because we're a long way away from Jesus. Like you said, if my 50,000 messages seen 50 million times are all knocks on the door and only one person opened the door, we got a problem.
Well, the point being is with these things being out there now on social media, Jesus gets to continue knocking.
And Yes, exactly.
That's what I believe social media has been developed for this purpose in the end days, where it doesn't rely on, okay, you having to go to Ethiopia next month for a five-day meeting, and then you come back home and the following month you got to go to, you know, Argentina for a five-day meeting, and then you come back home and the next month you got to go to Russia for a five-day meeting. You can do it all right from where you're at, talking to your refrigerator.
You know what's remarkable too about that, Bob? There's a lot of people proclaiming the same kind of message that you and I are.
Yeah.
More than we would think, because of those 50 million times seen, they were all sent to Christian groups that I encountered, either through email groups, either through common likes or you know, on social media, or to church pastors directly.
Yeah.
But everything, all those 50,000 messages were sent to people who are associated in one way or another with Jesus Christ. They may not be the right way, but somehow they have that commonality. And these Christian groups, as you said, they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The problem is, and please forgive me for saying this, the church pastors are fighting all of this.
Yeah, yeah. And because the modern theological seminaries, if you want to call it that, are teaching, I mean, literally, they have classes on how to grow your ministry, how to run your ministry as a business, how to, you know.
Well, remember what Gary told me, that the Methodist Church is all about payroll, pensions, and property.
That's it. Yeah. Amen. That's right. So, man, we are all out of time for today. Get in touch with John. He's offering you a free copy of his book. Now, there's limited quantities available, so you need to email him right away once this is published and you're hearing it. You need to go down to the links down below in the show notes. Get in touch with John. Tell him that you heard about his book offer on the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, and if he has any left, he'll send it out to you. But if he says, sorry, I'm all out, well, maybe he can send you an e-copy. I'm sure he's got one of those hanging around somewhere. But praise the Lord. John, thank you so much for coming back on the program today, buddy. I look forward to our next conversation.
Our next conversation is going to be about the dazzling light. That's our next revelation.
Hey, man, that'd be a good name for a website, you know what?
You got me on that one, bud.
Folks, that's all the time we have for John Beach and myself. This is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform,
your success.